Certainly thankful for the public prayer offered on our behalf, and I'm certainly thankful, as Brother Darrell mentioned, of those that God has blessed to be a part of our lives, to enter into our lives at different junctures down through our journey here, and what an example and a blessing they are to each and every one of us. And you know, couple of weeks ago, I preached on the subject of trouble, and I didn't finish on that subject, and if God would bless, I want to continue with that. It's not something that a lot of us want to hear about, but you know, the Bible teaches us that trouble is a significant part of our lives. And we're told in the Bible that for whatsoever things, in Romans chapter 15, verse 4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. The Bible was given to us, and it's been preserved by the Lord Jesus Christ down through time. You know, many books have come and many books have gone. And some people think, well, man has maintained the Bible. No, God has preserved the Bible. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth. Seven times mean they're complete. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. That's in Psalms 12. We have the Bible today. We have this instrument of God's word, his writings before us to go to study, to understand the difficulties of life. It's that we might learn something. That we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. You know, as we talked about trouble in a few weeks ago, we talked about trouble that came because of the actions of someone else. And then that happens oftentimes in life. Someone will do something that brings a great amount of trouble to us. Sometimes it's just troubling to our mind. We know that we can have trouble in our lives because of disobedience. The Bible teaches that. And Lord being our helper today, we'll look at that a little further. We know that sometimes we have trouble just because of nature, you might say, just because of life in itself. We're told in the 12th chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth, when the evil days come not, or the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Solomon said the evil days are the days of affliction. If you read the rest of Ecclesiastes chapter 12, it'll begin to talk to you about the breaking down of the body. The eyes will become dim, the hair will become gray, the hearing will get low. The things that you and I have witnessed it in all the elderly folks that we've been around for many years of our life. And this brings trouble to the minds and to the conscious of people as they get older, because these afflictions are not easy to deal with at times. They're troubling to us. They're troubling to us who have to watch our loved ones go through them. They're troubling to the loved one who's having to deal with them. But yet there's something that you and I can do nothing about. You know, we can go to the doctor, we can get a few prescriptions, but basically if you live long enough, the troubles of the end of life, those afflictions, the evil days come upon all of us in some form or fashion. Now, I made a statement, you know, that trouble starts early in a person's life. Job said that man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. You know, trouble is a significant part of our life, and knowing that very thing and entering into life and journeying through life, understanding that, it should drive us to God's word to understand how we are to deal with it, how we are to get through it. Because Jesus said, in this world ye shall have tribulations. There's no doubt for the child of God that trials will come, and oftentimes trouble finds us more often than we like. It can be trouble from families. It can be trouble from work. It can be trouble from illnesses. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. We know those exist, and I wish I could tell you today that you could live a life without trouble, but that's not scriptural. What we need to do is understand how to get through those troubles. And the answer to our troubles is the same, regardless of whether they were the cause of someone else, whether they were because of our own disobedience, because of whatever, the only answer for deliverance from your troubles And that doesn't mean that God will wipe away the trouble and it will not exist, or he will roll the clock back and take it away. No. But your only way to live life and have peace and joy, to get through those troubles, is through the Lord Jesus Christ. In every case, it's Jesus Christ. We look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. It's in him that we live and we move and that we have our being. So as we consider this subject this morning, what we consider is going to the Lord, going to the Lord Jesus Christ, always having our attention upon him. You know, there are times that the Lord tests us, you know, to burn out the dross, you might say. You know, we're told over in 25th chapter of the book of Proverbs that, let me get that 25th chapter and verse 4. This pertains to us, you might, if you understand it. Verse 4 says, take away the dross from the silver, and there shall come forth a vessel for the finer. In other words, at times in our life, God will test us. God tests his children. He tries his children. And in doing so, it refines them, it purifies them. It draws them to God and away from the things of this world. And sometimes we don't head toward things in this world. It's not our full intention. We're not motivated to focus entirely on the world, but we're all sinners and we've all come short of the glory of God. And at times we're drawn away by the things of this world. And God has a way of bringing us back and putting us to the test and being with us in a special way that we might understand that it is Jesus Christ that we need in our lives in every capacity, regardless of the circumstances that we're dealing with. There is no deliverance in this life apart from Jesus Christ. There's not. You can go to doctors. You can go to psychologists. You can go to man. You can go to preachers. You can go everywhere. But I tell you, deliverance is only going to come from Jesus Christ. He said, these things I've spoken unto you that in me you might have peace. If you want to navigate through this life in peace, regardless of how the trouble came into your life, it's only with the proper view of Jesus Christ. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee, that you may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. It's unfortunate sometimes that God chastens his children. You know, there are God's children today who just won't have that doctrine. But it's biblical. Just as God taught you to straighten out your children, to spank your children, to do what's necessary to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, to train them up in the way that they should go, God trains us up. Unfortunately, we oftentimes, in the eyes of Almighty God, are as foolish to God as our children are to us. And sometimes God puts us to the test. God trains us. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son that he receiveth. You know, some people will tell you that God loves every man. But the verse in Hebrews 12 and verse 6 says, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every one that he receiveth. Every son that he receiveth, he scourges, he chastens. If he loves everyone, then he scourges everyone. He says, but if you be without chastisement, if you're not chastened, whereof all are partakers, how could he love all and chasten all and yet some be without? Because he loves those that were chosen in his son. We understand that doctrine. We understand that. But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then you are bastards and not sons. That's the words written down in Hebrews chapter 12. It means you're not a son. It means you do not belong to him. None of us enjoy chastisement. But honestly, it's one of the greatest evidences that you are a child of God. Not only that you believe on Jesus Christ, but that God has chastened you because he loves you with such a love that he's willing to refine you, to deal with you as a father deals with a son. That's what Hebrews 12 teaches us. You know, sometimes God's merciful, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, sometimes God doesn't give us what we deserve. How many times throughout your life did you not give your children what they deserved? Probably more times than you want to admit. I know that I did. God does the same with us, but there are times that God brings problems, and I believe trouble into our life. Some people just cannot believe that if God is who God says he is, how he could bring any trouble into the life of one of his dear children. We'll see here in a minute in the life of David, he done just that. over the sins that David committed. He brought trouble in his life, and yet God was the answer to his trouble. God was the answer and the comfort. David learned something from that. That's what we're supposed to get out of chastening, out of the troubles that come from chastening. We're to learn. You know, the scriptures were written aforetime that we might learn. You know, there's an old saying, we who fail to learn from the past or from history are doomed to repeat it. We have the history of God's people written down in scripture here for each and every one of us. And it is my prayer and my hope that we learn, that we're learning something from this, that it would be a blessing to us in our lives, that it would help us to comfort others. You notice Paul said, back over where we started in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, he said, "Blessed be the God and blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort." Regardless of how trouble comes into our life, we have no one else to give us the comfort. You know, sometimes if you were like me and in the troubles that I went through in my life, I sought comfort everywhere but in the Lord. But I tell you, God calls upon you and I who have went through those difficulties, who have been chastened or who have been dealt with by somebody else. Whatever trouble you have, if God has comforted you, he's called upon you and I to comfort those who have the same trouble and the same problems. Notice what it says. Who comfort us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. I tell you, I can testify to you today that that happened to me in my life. My brother George, in my greatest time of trouble, regardless of the circumstances, no one comforted me more than George did. Brother George was there for my every need, far more than I've been there for other folks' needs. But he did. And George was not a man who did not have any troubles in his own life. He had had the comfort of God poured out upon him, and he poured it out upon others. And that's a lesson. We're to learn something from the troubles that we go through in life. Even David, who we'll talk about this morning, is such a unique individual and such a patriarch of the Old Testament and a type of Christ. You know, he had troubles in his life because of the actions of Saul and others. But then he had troubles in his life because of his own action. He was not immune to sin. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all done wrong, even David, and being that man after God's own heart. That Bible tells us he was a man after God's own heart. That statement was never made about another man in the entire scripture. Yet David, like us, not that much different. You know, he became tempted. He failed a temptation, and he sinned. And he suffered the consequences of that sin. And yet it was God who delivered him from the trouble. In other words, God gave him the peace to go on. We're going to look at that as we go forward. Now, let's think about being tested sometimes. Maybe we just veer off the beaten path a little bit. And we're told in James that, brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. That diverse means various. Temptations is trying, being tested. Knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Patience means endurance. It helps us to endure. You know, Paul said, I've been delivered, he said over in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 2 Corinthians 1 and 10, he says, who hath delivered us from so great a death. I made mention of that a couple of weeks ago. Have you ever looked back in your life on a great trouble that you had? And somehow or other, you're here today, you're marching forward, you're still worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ, you're still moving forward. That's a deliverance that God gave you. You don't know how you got here. You don't know why you're able to go on. It's because God's grace that you're able to go on. That's what it is. All the glory and all the praise goes to him, regardless of how we get into these circumstances. Trouble is just a significant part of our life. I wish I could tell you it's not, that if you do this, that, and the other, you wouldn't have it. But I tell you, there's not a patriarch in the Bible, including the Apostle Paul, who didn't deal with lots of trouble. It came in all kinds of ways. It's a part of life. That's why Jesus said it, in these things have I spoken unto you, that in me, it's only in him can we get through the troubles of this life. I tell you, folks will go out and they'll try to get through life. They'll take trips and they'll try to run from the Lord. I tried to do that. I one time thought if I could get far enough off, my problems wouldn't be there anymore. I'm going to tell you, you can't hide from the Lord. Brother George used to tell me that. Wherever you are, the Lord is there. You know, the problems that we have are not between us and other folks. Sometimes we see it that way, but it's really not. It's with God. It's with the Lord. And that's where we got to find peace. You got to find peace with the Lord. There are so many things in this world and in this life that you cannot control. You cannot do anything about. You got to find your peace in Jesus Christ and none other. He is the only place you will find peace. Brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Let's notice what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, just for scan over this just a little bit. And you know, sometimes people have troubles in their life because their focus has become too much on life and not the Lord. They really haven't committed no outright sin, but they've drifted off a little here and a little there. Paul said, according to the grace of God, which is given me in verse 10, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another build upon it. In other words, he laid the foundation. That foundation is the Lord Jesus Christ. But he goes on to say, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon the foundation of gold, silver, precious stones, wood, or hay, stubble, he tells us that sometimes we lose focus in life of the Lord. He is that solid rock. He is that perfect work. He is the one who saved all his people from their sins. You know, he tells us that basically men build their houses upon two foundations, either upon the rock or upon the sand. Matthew chapter 6, Sermon on the Mount. Those who build their house upon the sand, when the storms of life come, and brothers and sisters, that's what trouble is. They're coming. If they ain't there today, they'll be there. They're out on the horizon. They're coming. And those who build their house upon the sand, they're building their house expecting, or they should expect, a great fall, because the trials and the troubles of life will come. When the storms beat against that house will fall, and great will be that fall. No, they'll still have their eternal life, but the troubles of life will eat them alive. Troubles are hard. They're mind-boggling. They wear on our emotions. They cause us to be sad. They rob us of our joy, but they're just a significant part of life that we need to learn more and more about, because we're going to have them. And there is a way to deal with them. There is a way to get through them. I testify today I'm here, and I'm getting through some, but you know what's funny? You go through a bad trouble or trial in your life, and you think nothing can be any worse, and the next thing you know, something rises up as you journey that seems to be just about as bad. They just won't go away. When Job said, or the writer of Job said, that man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble, he had it pegged, did he not? Troubles don't go away. They're not just one or two in an entire life. People are sick. Children are not doing what you want them to do. Someone doesn't like you at work. Boss is treating you wrong. I mean, on and on goes the troubles that exist in this life. I mean, the list is long, and they're wide, and they're broad. But friends, I'm telling you, the answer to our trouble is the same every time: the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one that will help you navigate through the difficulty of old age. When you get old and your body begins to quit, begins to be challenged to continue on as it once did, when the hearing goes low, and when you can't see as you once saw, and so forth. If you read Ecclesiastes chapter 12, it talks about the breaking down of the body. Anyone that lives long enough is going to undergo that, because none of us are immune from death. We're all going to die. It was appointed once unto man to die, and then the judgment. I mean, we're going to die as far as this old flesh. But for those that are God's children, our eyes are opened immediately in the presence of the Lord. You see, there is coming a day that gives us hope, a day where you'll never have another trouble forever. Well, nothing will ever change, and that's going to be the greatest and the most glorious day that you and I will ever know or ever see. Sin will no longer be. Troubles will no longer exist. I mean, if you think on it long enough, you talk about it long enough, you get plenty excited about the day when there'll never be another trouble to be had. There'll never be another trial. There'll never be another tear shed. There'll never be another sleepless night. There'll never be another sorrow. That's the hope that you and I have in heaven. It's the hope that anchors the soul of the child of God. But the Lord allowed troubles into our lives. Sometimes he sends troubles into our lives that we might learn, that we might be refined, that we might take away the dross, and that we might be become a finer vessel. In other words, refined and be more pure in our walk. You know, he says, because it's written, be holy, for I am holy. God teaches us and trains us, and through his word, we're to learn from our mistakes that we might go forward. Now, make a few comments on Psalms 42, where we preached a couple of weeks ago. You know, David was undergoing a great deal of trouble to the point that he was depressed to that significant area because of Saul chasing him like a fugitive, like he was an outlaw. He had done nothing wrong. Out of jealousy, Saul had been chased David because God had rejected Saul as king and anointed David to be king. David had been many days not able to go to the house of the Lord and assemble himself with God's people. And it was very sorrowful to him. And he said he was cast down, which is a shepherd's term. You know, if you go on the internet and you Google that, and Google cast down as a shepherd's term, it'll tell you exactly what it is in real life. A sheep lays over on its back with four legs in the air, and a sheep cannot get up. If the shepherd doesn't come, that sheep will suffocate in a little no time and die. The lesson is, without the shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, when you and I are cast down, when you and I are filled with troubles, we're not going to get out of those troubles other than the deliverance that the Lord Jesus Christ can give us. David said, I will hope in the Lord. He is my help, the countenance of my help. He is my help. He is my helper. He is the only help that we have. When he ends that psalm, he says, he is the health of my countenance. You know, have you ever been around people that tell you they're doing just fine? Everything's okay, and yet you know different? Our countenance speaks volumes about whether we're happy, whether we're sad, whether we're worried, whether we're troubled. You know, folks, if they're really happy and they're really joyful, it's not hard to tell. A lot of how we look and how we act is poured out through our countenance, and we get a pretty good idea of where folks are in life, don't we? If you know somebody that's really happy, it's very easy to tell that. If you know somebody that's very sad, it's very easy to tell that. David was cast down, and he began to talk to himself. He began to question himself, why am I this way? Matter of fact, he was so caught up in his troubles that he lost sight of the Lord. And he said, I will hope in God. He says, hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. He said, it is the help of the Lord's countenance. It is the Lord that will help me. Friends, there is no other help. You can't buy it. You can't find it. And the world is certainly not going to give it to you. There's nowhere in this world are you going to find the help that you need. Only in Jesus Christ will that child of God find the comfort and the help that he needs, regardless of the circumstances he's undergoing, regardless of the trouble that he's been enduring in life, because Jesus is there with us. You know, David came from both sides of the spectrum here, and we're going to go here in just a moment and look at the other. David had trouble in his life, and all this trouble stemmed from the very fact that Saul was so jealous he couldn't stand having the kingship taken away from him. But it was God that took it away. He anointed David. David was a man after God's own heart. He was the youngest of eight sons, the sons of Jesse. He understood the Lord. I tell you, he was faithful as a young man to the Lord. He fought Goliath, and with one shot, Goliath fell, that great giant. And David said, I come unto thee in the name of the only true and living God, the armies of God. He knew who was fighting the battle. Friends, that's who's to fight our battles every day in life is the Lord. David knew that. But David, even though he seems like such a great man, and he was, yet he was a sinner. He wasn't that much different than you and I. He was taken in by temptation. He sorrowed, and he was depressed in this particular psalm. I think he was very depressed for what life had brought him. He knew he'd been anointed king, but it wasn't happening. All he done was on the run. You know, and I think there's a great lesson in this psalm to be learned. There was a couple of times when David was running and being chased by Saul that David had an opportunity to take care of the problem, to take it in his own hands. Romans chapter 12 says, recompense to no man evil for evil. In other words, when somebody does you wrong, don't take it into your own hands to fix the problem. Don't do what's wrong. You're not given a license to sin. You're not given a license to do that that's not right in the eyes of Almighty God. David here, the people, the brethren that were with him or traveling with him, they encouraged him to take Saul's life. He had two great occasions to do that. Once in a cave and once when they lay asleep and David saw him on the hill. They encouraged David, take his life, get rid of him, get him out of it. He's a problem that you don't need. David said, my hand will not touch the Lord's anointed. And it took a long time, but the Lord took care of Saul, did he not? And Jonathan. Unfortunately, Jonathan was with him when they were put to death. But David left it in the hands of the Lord. Great lesson for us in our troubles and our trials. Put it in the hands of the Lord. Sometimes we're impatient. We want to see results sooner. David could have very well been impatient there. I think he probably was. But I tell you right now, he wasn't going to touch God's chosen, the Lord's anointed. And the Lord took care of him. Great lesson to us. Now let's shift on for a minute. As time went on, David finds himself in far more trouble. In 2 Samuel chapter 12, we all know the story of Bathsheba. We all know that David was a great warrior. David generally went out to battle. But for some reason this time, he stayed at home and he had too much time on his hands. That's what it amounted to. So one night he went walking up on the top of his castle or his house or wherever he lived, and he looked over and this woman was bathing on top of another building. And she was a beautiful woman and desirous to him. You know, he was in the wrong place at the wrong time. He should have been out on the battlefield where he always was. But needless to say, you know, he committed adultery with her. In other words, as great a man as David was, a type of Christ, he was a sinner, just like you and I. He done things that you and I would do. Maybe we haven't committed adultery. Maybe we haven't committed murder. The Bible says if you look in your heart, you can commit adultery. If you hate a brother, you committeth murder. So I don't know. It might include all of us at some point in this time, in time in our lives. But needless to say, David was a man not that much unlike you and I. He had his problems, and temptation overtook him. Temptation. Let's begin to read in chapter 12. And the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, there were two men in one city, one rich and another poor. This is a parable that Nathan the prophet was laying out to David, but this parable was about David. David didn't realize it. He says, the rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds. That's David, the rich man. But the poor man, speaking of Uriah, that was Bathsheba's husband, had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up and grew it up together with him and with his children. It did eat of his own meat, and it drank of his own cup and lay in his bosom and was unto him as a daughter. This is one little ewe man this poor man had, one little ewe lamb that this poor man had, and it meant the world to him. It says, and there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock. In other words, he was going to make him a meal, this wayfaring traveler, of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was to come unto him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And notice David's response. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. And he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, this man that hath done this thing shall surely die. David pronounced death on himself for the actions that took place. And he's going to understand it here in just a moment. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity. And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Boy, I bet that was an eye-opener, wasn't it? David's rocking along there, and he's hearing about this parable about this rich man and this poor man and this ewe lamb. It was about David being the rich king of Israel and Uriah being this poor man with a wife and some children, and he took the poor man's wife and took it for himself. And then, you know, bad thing about it is David not only did that, then he began to cover it up. He brought Uriah back. He tried to get Uriah to go and lay with Bathsheba so he could probably say, well, it's not my child, it's hers. But I want to tell you something in that story right there. That didn't happen. You may hide your sins from one another. We may all do that, but we don't hide one sin from the Lord. The Lord knows our thoughts before we even think them. He knows our sins, whether I know them or not. And we cannot hide ourselves or our sins or our actions from God Almighty. David could not get Uriah to go down with Bathsheba because when David was at the house, he laid there and the men were out fighting and it was honorable for him to lay at the door of the king. So finally David decided, I've got to get rid of this man. You know, one sin can grow into another sin. I mean, it's just amazing what sin can do in our lives. So he said, you take Uriah out to the battle and you tell the army to withdraw and leave him out front. And he did. And he was immediately killed. David just as well stuck a sword in him and killed him. That's what took place. Now, you've always heard that there's consequences for our actions, is there not? There are. There were consequences for us when we were children, when we didn't do what mom and dad said. We were chastened. For who the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. But yet the world will tell you that if God is who he says he is, he wouldn't do this to one of his poor little children. He goes on down here and he says, he pronounces, David said he would return to that man, the lamb, and fourfold. Well, there was four woes pronounced upon David. And this is a sermon in itself we won't go into, but David had four things told to him by the prophet Nathan that was going to happen to him in his life. He says, now the sword, therefore the sword will never depart from thy house. That was the first one. Because thou hast despised me and taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, I will raise up evil against thee out of thy own house. David's house was rebellious. His own son Absalom tried to kill him and become the king. Amnon raped his half-sister Tamar. And Absalom put him to death. I mean, David's house was not in order. Psalms 23 and 5, 2 Samuel 23 and 5, David said, although my house be not so with God. His house was not so with God because of his sins. But notice here, people say, well, God wouldn't do this. God of heaven wouldn't do that. He says, I will raise up evil against thee. That's what God said. God raised up evil against David because he transgressed David's law. He chastened him. I will take thy wives. I will. This is the Lord. I will take thy wives before thine eyes and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of the sun. David had taken Bathsheba in private. He says, your wives will be taken from you and it'll be made public, known throughout all the land of Israel. Don't think for a minute the Lord doesn't know how to get our attention, because he does. The Lord loved David that much. But I tell you, David has come to understand something. Nathan told him over here, he says, the Lord hath put away thy sin in verse 13. Thou shalt not die. Well, there's two great comforts in that verse. The Lord's people's sins have been put away as far as the east is from the west. And we'll never die an eternal death. We'll never be eternally separated from God Almighty. But this also spoke that his natural life would continue. But he was told there was going to be a life ahead of him, that there were going to be a lot of things happen. Now, let's turn over at having that in sight to Psalms 51, and let's look at the response. If you have a King James Bible like mine, the little pre-heading up here says, to the chief musician, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet came unto him after he had gone in to Bathsheba, after he had committed adultery. David began this psalm and said, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Over in 2 Samuel, I believe it was verse 12, he said, I have sinned against the Lord. You know, Suzanne was telling me out at Shallow Water last week, school hadn't started, there was a speaker that come out there, and he was speaking on hope, and she bought a couple of his books, and she said she really enjoyed what he spoke on. But I read a chapter of the first part of that book, and it was a very short one, but he said the first thing we have to do is own our mistakes. We have to own our sins. And even sometimes in life, we hate to acknowledge or admit our sins because of pride. We don't want to be wrong. But I tell you, God is faithful to forgive us and to cleanse us from all righteousness. If we confess our sins, 1 John chapter 1, God is faithful to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. He will not remove the sin from our life. But I tell you, even when we do something that we shouldn't have done, there is no one left to go to but the Lord, the God of all comfort, the God of all consolation. Notice what David says in verse 3. For I acknowledge my transgressions. That's the first thing we need to do in life. We're sinners. And David was no different. A lot of trouble had come upon David because of his sins here. But something else had happened. He had no joy because of his sin. He's going to say down there, and I believe it's in the 12th verse, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. But let's continue to look at this before we get there. He says, against thee and thee only have I sinned. Isn't that amazing? When someone sins against us or we sin against someone, oftentimes we have that person in mind. But David, even though he had taken Bathsheba and he had put Uriah to death, against thee and thee only have I sinned, the Almighty God of heaven. That's who we've sinned against and done this evil in thy sight. David was owning his sins. David was mourning over his sins, acknowledges his sins before Almighty God. When we sin before God, that's what we need to do, to fall down and confess our sins. We can't change them. We can't do anything about them. But I tell you, we serve a God who is rich in mercy. He's merciful to us. And just as David, the great patriarch of the Old Testament, was a sinner, we're sinners also, and we need God's help every day. And this was the response he had to the trouble he got himself into. And even though he would bear that trouble through many days of the latter part of his life, he knew that the Lord was with him. When he went to death in Psalms 23, he said, Although though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. He knew that the Lord is with him regardless of the troubles that he went through, even if the trouble was death. But the trouble is not death at this point, because he had already been told he would not die at that given time. He goes on and he says, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou might be justified when thou speakest and clear when thou judgest. I'm going to tell you, when God speaks to you, it's very clear. I don't know if God's spoken to you, but it's very clear. At least it was to me in my lifetime. It was very clear. And when he judged, it's very clear. You know, I think David got to the point that he knew he deserved what he had coming to him. He had taken that poor man's wife, and then when he couldn't cover it up, he put the poor man to death. And as we always tell our children, there are consequences for our actions. There were consequences for his actions. There was great trouble in his life at this given point. He goes on down here in verse 12, and he says, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Is it possible to have so many troubles in our life that we lose the joy of our salvation? You see, salvation is the hope that anchors our soul, is it not? We are sinners. We walk in such a way that we're always going to be sinners. You know, some people say, when I used to sin, well, we continue to sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth's not in us. I think when we're consciously aware of sin, and we'd like not to sin, but just as David did here, so do we. Sometimes we can lose the joy of our salvation because we get caught up in the troubles of life. But even if you're the problem of the troubles, not someone else, and it may be someone else, the only answer to your trouble is the Lord. The only answer to our trouble is the Lord. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. I told you a while ago, Paul said that when we are comforted in our tribulations by God himself, that we're to comfort others, as I mentioned in Brother George in comforting me. That's what he learned something from those trials. George learned something somewhere back in life of how to comfort those that were in trouble, that had troubles. And I'm very thankful for that. And that's a great lesson that troubles are to teach each and every one of us. But notice what David says here. After all he'd went through, he says, then will I teach transgressors thy ways. It's when we have sinned and we've got brought trouble into our life because we've sinned against a holy and righteous God. It's then that we learn from the experience of life and we're able to teach others the ways of the Lord. We understand the ways of the Lord. We understand that God loves you so much that He's not just going to let you wander out there forever. You know, I don't like chastening my children. I had a hard time whipping them, and sometimes I didn't handle that in the proper manner. I don't think the Lord loves it anymore. We're told that the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Friends, that's not eternal perishing there, as many would preach and teach. Jesus said in John chapter 10, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. So what is the perishing there? God is long-suffering. It is not God's will to chasten you and I. It really isn't. But there are times for our own good, just as it was for our own children, that it's a benefit. Because it burns out the dross. It refines us as the silver was refined. And it brings forth a vessel for the finer, as it's told in Proverbs chapter 25. In both situations, David's answer was the Lord. He said, I've sinned against thee. I acknowledge my sin. I confess it before thee, Lord. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And then I'll teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. We're all sinners. We've all made mistakes, and I'm sure, knowing myself, I haven't made my last mistake. And I'm thankful for God who will comfort us through whatever our tribulation may be. When we get old, I pray that God will comfort us as our bodies fail and as those troubles of life come. But whatever your trouble is, the answer to your trouble is the Lord. Regardless how it came about, our answer in this life is Jesus Christ, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, being drawn unto Him. The Bible says, draw nigh unto God, and God will draw nigh unto us. I do know for a fact that the better life is going along for many of us, the less we draw nigh to God. We're doing pretty good. It's often when troubles come in our life that we're drawn closer to the Lord, and that's an unfortunate thing, but it's not the case with everyone, but it is with many of us many times through the journey of this world and in this life. So I encourage you, whatever trouble you may be bearing, whenever it may come, regardless of the circumstances or how it came to pass, look unto the Lord Jesus Christ, because He is your hope and He is your comfort. He is the peace that will navigate you through the turmoil of this world, through the storms of this life, if we will just build our life upon that firm foundation, upon the solid rock of the Lord Jesus Christ.